a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The Judiciary Committee will come back to order. First of all, I apologize to our internet listeners. We were not on the internet when we gaveled in this morning, and so I would advise them that we have taken action. We brought up Senate Bill 173, and at the request of the prime sponsor, Senator Lederman, we made and passed a motion to table that bill pending further work on it for next session. Then we went into recess, waited for a moment for Senator Bradford to arrive, who has the next two bills. Senator Bradford wishes to speak to Senate Bill 222 first, so we're going to move that to the top and deal with Senate Bill 222 and then get to 221. So that'll be our order as we continue. Good morning, Senator Bradford. We'll take up Senate Bill 222, bill to clarify the voting status of certain parolees and probationers. Proponent testimony, Senator Bradford. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I apologize for being a little late. I was on Indian time and kind of showed up right on schedule, really. But anyway, on this bill, this is very near and dear to my heart. I absolutely don't think we ought to eliminate anybody from voting. We get such a high or a low percentage of show up for voting, especially in state elections on our reservations. Our Indian people somehow have a disconnect, and some of those who would vote may have had some probation or some violation. But at this time, I don't think the bill is, we had enough time to really work the bill right and get it so it would be palatable for everybody. So at this time, I would ask you to table the bill.
Thank you, Senator Bradford. Discussion action from the committee.
Chairman.
Senator Monroe.
I move we defer Senate Bill 221 on the 41st day. Is that?
Second.
Sure. Motion to defer to the 41st day. Any discussion on that motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kirkby.
Substitute motion to table.
Substitute motion to table from Senator Kirkby. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Bogalka. That is a non-debatable motion. And so the motion on the floor is the substitute motion to table Senate Bill 222. Those in favor of say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Senator.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Senators Valley.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Bigalka.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye. Motion carried. Senate Bill 222 is tabled at the request of the sponsor. Just a note, you might note that we are now in the second half of the session, and as promised, we have reversed the voting order in the committee. We're now alphabetically reversed. So, Senator Valley, you need to be awake for every vote because you're the V on the committee.
I'd just like to lodge a protest. If we're going to change the order, the
out of order
first.
Okay. We'll now move to the last bill on our calendar today, Senate Bill 221, a bill to revise certain penalties relating to the possession of marijuana. Proponent testimony, Senator Bradford, that's your bill. Good morning again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a pretty good record for what bills do, but thank you again. And Senate Bill 221 is a bill to reduce the penalties on marijuana, and in that process to begin to work towards less penalties and more recovery, less cost, less filling of our prisons. And I am going to turn the testimony over to my good friend, and he has a lot more of the data and stuff to present. So with that, I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Senator. Further proponent testimony, Senate Bill 221. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Senate Judiciary. My name is Emmett Reistropper. I am the board chairman and lobbyist for South Dakota Families First.
Can you hear me now?
I know you're getting a lot of help.
I know you're getting a lot of help with the microphone there, but I think we're on now, so
all
continue,
right.
Please.
All right, absolutely. So this bill, from the Families First perspective, is a pro-family, pro-police bill. This will improve public safety in South Dakota by enhancing law enforcement's ability to address violent and dangerous crimes. I'm particularly concerned about law enforcement in rural counties, where there may only be one sheriff. He discovers a driver has marijuana, maybe not using it. It's in their back seat. They can smell it. They confiscate it. They may have to, in some cases, drive that offender to another county to book them in jail. I just do not believe the cost statewide, upwards of $25 million or more, are really giving us any bang for our buck when it comes to marijuana enforcement. So that's why we're seeking this reclassification. This is not decriminalization. Two of our neighboring states have gone much further. Minnesota and Nebraska have reduced penalties, reclassified the same crime to be fine only, so that the offender never goes to court. In South Dakota, we are treading nowhere near as far in that direction. We are simply aligning our law with North Dakota, which I believe is very important. If you look at our incarceration rates in South Dakota versus North Dakota, North Dakota, the vast majority of inmates serving time for drug crimes were convicted for distribution rather than possession. However, in South Dakota, 71% of our drug offenders are convicted for possession rather than distribution. So in North Dakota, it's just flipped around. They're putting more distributors in prison, less possessors. In South Dakota, we're putting more possessors, less distributors. And I do believe that the governor's work group on Senate Bill 70, the Public Safety Act, has really addressed that issue in a comprehensive way and has actually reclassified the classifications for almost every drug, all of which much harder than marijuana. We're talking narcotics have been reclassified to lesser penalties and lesser classifications as part of this comprehensive plan led by the leaders of our state to hold offenders more accountable and focus more so on those who pose a risk to the community, not just the everyday drug user who has drugs for their own use. What I am asking the committee to do is think about our law enforcement officers, how they use their time, how they may be able to use it better to keep us safe from violent and dangerous crimes. I know that there may be a concern about marijuana usage, so I provided you with data regarding that. There has been several studies. The sheet with my Family's First logo at the top has quotes from several reputable organizations, including the Institute of Medicine, all of which their studies demonstrate marijuana usage remains stable or actually decreases in states that have decriminalized marijuana, that have passed medical marijuana. So when we're talking about changing our marijuana laws, even in such a subtle fashion of just going from a class one to a class two, there's no fear, no concern in my mind that marijuana usage will go up. As far as we can tell, in heightened enforcement efforts, marijuana usage has gone up consistently with population growth. So where's the bang for our buck? Spending $25 million a year arresting and hauling offenders to jail is not making use go down. So I'm asking the committee, please reclassify this very common offense. Some would say is becoming culturally acceptable. I don't wish to debate that. I don't care for marijuana personally. I don't think it is good for young people to be doing it. We need to be taking proactive measures to prevent people from using any drugs, including legal drugs like tobacco and alcohol. But when we're working on that marijuana issue, trying to keep it out of the hands of youth, we need to start thinking outside the box. We need to change the way we do things. And the first change I think we need to make is empower our police to use their time as they see fit. This is definitely a pro-public safety, pro-police bill. I really hope you will allow our local sheriffs to focus on the drug courts, to focus on the tribal courts, the HOPE program, the SWIFT sanctions for offenders. We really have this comprehensive public safety bill that has been signed by the governor, and I believe this fits in to that package, really, to that movement. Very fitting. So as I said, there's about $25 million in annual costs. That is on the bare minimum side. We're not getting any bang for our buck. Usage rates will not go up. Traffic fatalities will not go up. And I'm thinking mostly about those law enforcement agents in the rural counties where they may be the only one. And they can use their time more efficiently, I believe. You know, with that, I think my opponents are going to explain that marijuana is a gateway drug, that it leads to harder drugs. I just want to say that you can look at all the people who have ever used meth, and of course they used marijuana at some point. They probably used alcohol. They probably smoked cigarettes too. But when you look at the vast majority of people who use marijuana, only a fraction actually go on to use marijuana regularly, and a fraction of those actually go on to use any other drug. So there is certainly no evidence to demonstrate that reclassifying penalties will increase use, or that it will increase use of other drugs or cause more crime. We think lawmakers need to reconsider our enforcement efforts and realign our laws with the vast majority of states. Mind you, South Dakota is spared by only two states with harsher penalties. The vast majority of states have reduced penalties, so no jail time is allowed, or very minimal jail time. North Dakota has had the same classification for a number of years, just a maximum penalty of 30 days in jail. And in South Dakota, like I said, this debate is not about penalties. I know my opponents want to say that they're not going to jail already. Why reduce penalties? And I agree with them that they're not going to jail, but why wouldn't we change the law then? If judges are not even sentencing these offenders to more than 5 days in jail was the most common sentence. I think that was jail time served up until court more than anything. Judges are not sending these offenders to jail because South Dakota judges know these offenders are not posing a significant risk to public safety. They are weighing out the costs of incarceration. And so we just don't need a law on the books that says throw these people in jail for up to a year. We will continue to fine them, confiscate their marijuana, get adolescent offenders into drug awareness programs, and I urge lawmakers to explore more into preventative and proactive options for dealing with all drug use. I believe this bill fits into the public safety discussion in this legislature, and I hope you can look through the information I provided. I provided a map that shows different states that have reformed marijuana laws, several statements from these organizations as far as marijuana usage goes. There is not a single state that has lessened penalties for marijuana or even decriminalized it so that it's a fine only, where they have seen an increase in usage or traffic fatalities related to marijuana. So please support Senate Bill 221. Empower the men and women in our law enforcement to use their time. And the one last point I want to make before I rattle on too long is I know the opponents are going to say, why would we make marijuana like a speeding ticket? Because speeding tickets are Class 2 misdemeanors. There's actually other drug and alcohol crimes that are Class 2 misdemeanors. There's a long list of Class 2 misdemeanors, including underage consumption of alcohol. And so comparing it to just speeding tickets, I believe, really doesn't serve our judges the respect that they should have, because they treat every crime differently, whether it's, you know, all Class 2s or not. They're still looking at the evidence and what happened and sentencing these offenders accordingly. So comparing it to a speeding ticket may only be appropriate because this crime actually occurs as common as a speeding ticket. I think that's another reason why we need to reconsider, to reclassify it. Like I said, to some, marijuana is culturally acceptable. Other states and nations are legalizing marijuana. The governments are actually in charge with distributing marijuana. And so this is where I think South Dakota, we are not going to Colorado with this law by any means. We are not condoning marijuana use. We're simply aligning our penalties with North Dakota, giving our police more power. And if it's the same classification as a speeding ticket, I think that is fine. I think that's what South Dakotans want, because the vast majority of South Dakotans would say jail time is far too much of an overreaction when dealing with low-level, everyday marijuana users. So with that, that is my testimony, and I will stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents, Senate Bill 221. Other proponents. Seeing no further proponents, let's go to opponents. We'll see if the opponents say everything that the proponents said they will say. Opponents, Senate Bill 221. Mr. Attorney General, good morning.
Morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Marty Jackley, South Dakota Attorney General. What Senate Bill 221 attempts to do is reduce the possession of 0 to 2 ounces of marijuana from a Class 1 to a Class 2 misdemeanor. In other words, from a one-year misdemeanor to a 30-day misdemeanor. And what I believe this sends a wrong message to South Dakota, particularly to teenagers, to reduce marijuana penalties. I'd like to take just a minute and talk a little bit about marijuana usage in South Dakota with the statistics that we see in the criminal justice system. When you look at possession of 2 ounces or less of marijuana, which is what this particular statute does, in the calendar year 2012, we had 2,361 arrests. And with that, we had 822 convictions. When you look at all these numbers, we have about a 35% conviction rate. I don't want you to get out of this that we're like Eric Holder and we believe in marijuana and that we have some blanket rule. But what we practically have here is, because it is a gateway drug, oftentimes, and I can say this from being a defense lawyer, from being a young prosecutor under both Attorney Generals Barnett and Long, that it's a gateway drug. And so when we have a meth arrest, typically you have marijuana and a marijuana charge as part of the plea agreement or the process. The Class 4 meth felony, the 10-year felony, is pled to, the conviction is obtained in that, and the marijuana case is dropped. And so that's why you have that particular rate, or you may have a variety of other reasons that would give a justification to not move forward on the marijuana case. And so 2361 arrests. When you take it to the next level, and when you start getting these higher levels of marijuana, you start getting into the maybe more than just recreational use. And the next level is really 2 ounces to 7 ounces, which is a Class 6 felony, which is a 2-year felony. We had 352 arrests in South Dakota. The next level, 8 ounces to 15 ounces, is a Class 5 felony. That's a 5-year felony. We're down to 26 arrests. On the Class 4 felony, which is 1 to 10 pounds, which is clearly distribution amounts, we're looking at 30 arrests. And then on marijuana that is 10 pounds and over, we make that a 15-year felony, and we had 38. When you look at our incarceration in the state penitentiary, I think this is a telling story with why our drug laws are working and why the criminal justice initiative that was talked about earlier did not dive into the marijuana discussion. For the distribution of marijuana, which again is separate from possession, but distribution, we have 11 men and 2 women in our state penitentiaries. So 0.36% of our state pen is distribution. When you look at possession of marijuana, that's the felony possession of marijuana in our South Dakota pen, we have 8 men and 0 women. So that's 0.22%. So to suggest that it's overburdening our criminal justice system, at least on the state end, is just simply inaccurate. what marijuana does, and the proponent talked about it, it's a gateway drug. I mean, anytime you sit through law enforcement debriefings of drug users, you ask them where they started, and oftentimes, more times than not, it's marijuana. It's alcohol or marijuana. And so to reduce the penalties for this early on will not help us in addressing the more serious drugs. In fact, it will hurt us. It's also often tied to violence, both violence with respect to the distribution that we see it on TV all the time, but also for individual reaction. And I'll use as an example, when I was United States attorney, I had placed on my desk a case where two juveniles were smoking pot. They were passing a pistol back and forth to each other. Pistol goes off, blew the back of the head out of one of the juveniles. Terrible case. Now, you could say, well, if they were doing alcohol, the same thing could have happened, but that wasn't what happened. They were smoking marijuana, they made bad decisions, and we have a dead juvenile. I can give you time and time again instances of violence tied to marijuana use occurring here in South Dakota. It's a gateway drug, and depending upon how people react to it, whether they're driving or they're making foolish firearms decisions or other decisions, their thought process is clouded. I sat and tentatively listened to the proponents of Senate Bill 221, and I couldn't figure out why we need to reduce this drug penalties. It's not pro-family to reduce it. It's not pro-law enforcement. I anticipate hearing from several law enforcement groups saying they don't support this. The Criminal Justice Initiative looked at it, and this was a comprehensive reform for South Dakota drug laws and did a lot of the right things. And what you didn't see in the Criminal Justice Initiative is anything with marijuana. And I go back to, as you look at the progression from the 2 ounces on that 2,381 arrests to those felony, roughly 8 individuals in the state penitentiary, we're dealing with it right. So what I ask is you don't take away our tools. Don't send the wrong message to the people of South Dakota, specifically teenagers. And in reality, South Dakota has spoken on our marijuana laws in 06 and again in 2010, where the state overwhelmingly said, leave it where it's at. I understand that was with medical marijuana, but we've seen attempt after attempt to address our marijuana laws. This year it was whether it was going to be medical marijuana, it was going to be whether or not we were going to have it in the Criminal Justice Initiative. That's not the right answer. The right answer is to leave it where it's at. It's working, and please give law enforcement the tools to continue to do the right thing in South Dakota. And I will certainly stand back for any questions the committee has. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I think we'll hold on questions since we have other law enforcement-related testimony. We'll see if we get the answers to our questions before we ask them. So, continuing with opponent testimony. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Brian Gortmaker. I'm the director of our South Dakota Division of Criminal Investigation, have been in law enforcement for 25 years. I'll try to emphasize a few things and add maybe a few more facts as you consider what the proponents are asking. South Dakota has soundly defeated this idea of decriminalizing marijuana. In 2010, 63% of the vote said that our drug statutes are what they should be. And as a law enforcement officer, I wholeheartedly support that 63% because we do have a very sound structure for how we handle these offenses in our society. And it makes South Dakota what it is today as compared to what our other neighbors are suffering in Colorado and in Montana. A couple weeks ago, we had some of this similar conversation in the room next door regarding House Bill 1227 that had to do with the idea of introducing a medical marijuana defense. And the proponents for that particular medical marijuana defense at that time stated that they realize South Dakota clearly does not want to legalize marijuana, yet we're here today talking about decriminalizing marijuana. Yes, this is a Class 1 misdemeanor. If we reduce it to a Class 2 misdemeanor, he said, rightly so, that would be the same as a speeding ticket or a seatbelt ticket or shoplifting a small item. But I want you to consider in real life what happens if we have a juvenile who's possessing less than 2 ounces of marijuana. If this law would take place, we have now reduced that to a Class 2 misdemeanor. Yet, for that juvenile to obtain that less than 2 ounces of marijuana, he has to participate in a Class 4 felony. We call it a Class 4 felony because we realize the harm and destruction that marijuana has in our youth and in their lives, and that's why it is a Class 4 felony to distribute marijuana to a minor. And then now for the juvenile to suddenly to walk away from that drug deal, which was a Class 4 felony, and just have less than 2 ounces of possession, we're only going to call it a Class 2 misdemeanor. To me, it doesn't weigh out on the same scale when we know how serious this offense is. Why do we think it is serious? Well, first of all, if they need to go receive this marijuana, they need to get it from a drug dealer, and some of these drug dealers are violent. In fact, in your own drug task forces in your communities, that's made up of your police officers, your sheriff's officers, your DCI agents, your federal agents, when they go out on high-risk search warrants, some of these are for marijuana dealers. Some of these marijuana dealers are violent. In fact, in the last 2 years in the Attorney General's office, they have seized firearms in 16 different cases that where those firearms were forfeited through our civil forfeiture process. 11 of those 16 cases were with marijuana dealers. These people are violent. Again, we're recognizing the violence and the potential behind this possession of marijuana. Also, marijuana is very addictive, and it costs the state a lot of money. If we start reducing the penalties for marijuana, obviously we're going to increase the use of marijuana. And they'll argue, no, it won't increase, but we know if you reduce penalties, yes, it will increase it. The state of South Dakota keeps statistics on addiction stats. Over 2,000 people in the last 3 years, 2009, 10, and 11, where the stats are available, over 2,000 people per year are seeking treatment in South Dakota for addiction to marijuana. That is three times the amount of people that are seeking addiction treatment for methamphetamine. This is a serious problem, and it does cost the state of South Dakota a lot of money. And if we start slackening our laws, we're going to have more people using marijuana, we're going to have more people in our treatment centers, and we're going to cost the state of South Dakota more money. I just ask that, they refer to this as a pro-police bill. You don't see police officers standing up behind the proponent saying, we agree this is a pro-police bill, because it is not. I'm here speaking for law enforcement. There are other law enforcement agencies and representatives here today that are going to tell you that please leave our laws where they are at. Our statutes work effectively. We're able to use them effectively. And I ask that you please oppose Senate Bill 221.
Thank you. Further opponents? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Ryan McKaylee with the Department of Public Safety. We're here to speak in opposition of this bill. It is not a good bill for law enforcement, and quite honestly, it's not a good bill for South Dakota. I'm not going to rehash the issues that have already been brought forward, but I do want to talk about something that is unique with marijuana and the possession of marijuana that's changed. Marijuana possession of 5 years ago was typically when you would arrest somebody for possession of marijuana. That marijuana was shaved from a brick of marijuana. It contained seeds. It contained stems. Quite honestly, it contained moisture from that brick. So the quantity of marijuana that you were getting for 2 ounces was not that much. With the marijuana of today that is grown hydroponically and chemically altered, the quantity of that marijuana is significantly higher. Not just the quantity and measurement, but the potency of that marijuana, the THC value. So you're taking from 5 years ago, even to 10 years ago, a baggie that had this much marijuana in it to a baggie now that has this much because it is lighter. I think that sends a very bad message, and I think it the proponents say that it's a pro-law enforcement bill. I'm in law enforcement, and I appreciate his support, but I have to disagree with him. I think it is a very bad bill for South Dakota. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents, Senate Bill 221. Further opponents.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Paul Bichon with the State's Attorneys Association. We likewise urge you to defeat this bill. We've had a lot of good testimony from the opponents. I'm not going to repeat anything, but I'd like to maybe just hit what we're talking about when we talk about quantity. This will be estimates. Your typical joint may run half a gram. It's 28.35 grams in an ounce. And so we're talking at about amount of probably 120 joints if you look at 2 ounces of marijuana. That's a significant amount, if my math is right. Now, that can range. So I think you could be anywhere from 80 joints, depending upon the quality of your supplier, up to 160 joints. That's a lot of marijuana. We don't believe that, for all the reasons stated, that this does anything to assist law enforcement or officers on the street. I think Sergeant McCaley hit it on the head when we're talking about the THC content that folks are experiencing now. The effect on driving out there is just terrible, and something that we don't want to put ourselves in, like Colorado and Washington has done. There were some statements made by, I know I'm not supposed to mention the name, but one of the proponents, not Senator Bradford, and so I don't want to offend Senator Bradford. But I think there's a fair question to ask for motivation here behind this and the involvement in other states in the pro-marijuana movement. I can't ask questions of people who are here, but I know you good folks can. And clearly on the motivational aspect, there is a push in those other states to legalize. It has been successful in Colorado, and we hope it is never successful here in South Dakota. And this is an effort, I think, to go down that road of legalizing it here, one that we simply will not and cannot support. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponent testimony, Senate Bill 221. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman Teason, committee members, Stacey Eggert, Executive Director for the South Dakota Sheriff's Association. I won't repeat any of the things you've already heard, but I'm here to tell you that as far as our rural sheriffs go, we are very thankful and appreciative. We are concerned for our time and travel and the expenses associated with it. But in instances where somebody is arrested or stopped and less than 2 ounces of marijuana is found on them and there are no other charges, I can tell you right now we work very closely with our state's attorneys and our judges. Those people are petitioned into court and not hauled off to jail. If they are taken, there was more surrounding the circumstances that day. I will stand by for additional questions.
Thank you. Further opponent testimony, Senate Bill 221. Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Police Chiefs Association, and I can tell you that our rural and our urban police on the streets are opposed to this measure. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents, Senate Bill 221. Are there further opponents? Okay, before we go to questions, I'm going to allow a brief time for rebuttal. I'll remind the proponent that I think I heard you give quite a bit of rebuttal in your opening statement, so let's keep that in mind as you offer your new rebuttal.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Senator Bradford. I will not repeat anything I said earlier, but I will reframe some of these ideas that have been talked about. And if I may first, Families First has law enforcement on our board, retired law enforcement officers. I know Representative Kaiser in the House told me he full-heartedly supported this bill. I was hoping he would come here to testify. He didn't sign on, but he told me good luck and wanted this bill to move forward. I know there is current and retired law enforcement. A lot of times law enforcement, especially administrators in law enforcement, enjoy the status quo. I believe they do work very hard in the interest of our public safety to fight crime. But if they want to talk about other states, it's almost always been the Attorney General. It's been certain key figures in the prison industry who have clung on to marijuana prohibition. They have always said over and over again, don't change anything. And that's because, if my career was built around law enforcement and for 3 decades now, we've escalated this war on drugs. We started receiving federal funding into our local enforcement agencies for drug crimes. You know, if my career depended on these sort of conviction rates, I too would oppose changing marijuana laws. But I don't want us thinking about certain people's job security or long-term thoughts about job security. That's not what this is about. This is about South Dakota's safety. I know my board member, a retired lieutenant police officer of 35 years, Tony Ryan, who has spoke to this, not this committee, but has spoke to this legislature in years past, has told me he is so passionate about changing our marijuana laws, as is thousands of other retired law enforcement officers, because they see no other greater instrument for the cause of police corruption than the prohibition of marijuana, whether that is through asset forfeiture, drug money forfeiture, or just general corruption. I'm not pointing fingers saying that's the case in South Dakota. I don't believe it is, but I believe there's more than ample reason for law enforcement administrators to protect the status quo in the long-term scheme of things. Are we treading towards legalization? I doubt that. It doesn't matter if I want it fully legal and regulated and taxed with government oversight. That doesn't matter because it's what South Dakotans want and what the legislators want. I would probably guess none of you will be promoting the legalization of marijuana. I don't want to see billboards or pot shops. I don't want us to go in that direction. I just want us to have a common sense approach. And quite frankly, South Dakota voters have rejected two medical marijuana measures. That is irrelevant. But my organization has spent quite a bit of money on polling. We find that roughly around 70% of South Dakotans say our current marijuana laws do not work. And 80% of the American public may agree to a similar statement. 64% of the American public agree that there should be a legal remedy for people with medical use, and roughly around 50% of the American public believe it should be fully legal. So, you know, there is a variety of attitudes. I understand, you know, the opponents to this bill that I'm bringing forward. I don't think I could have any more reputable or esteemed opponents. I have a lot of respect for the Attorney General, but I just think they're quite simply wrong. Some of their points, they said, you know, is marijuana burdening the system? Absolutely. Marijuana is 70% of all drug arrests in South Dakota. It's not the vast majority of people in prison for drugs because, like I said, the judges already have a rational approach to this. But we need to update our law and bring it up to speed because it's 70% of all drug arrests in South Dakota, roughly 4,000 arrests per year. You know, since the 80s, as our marijuana arrest rates have began to go up and now have stabilized in the 3,000 to 4,000 range, it's virtually left marijuana use unaffected. Marijuana use stays consistent with population growth despite the war on drugs. The $4 trillion that we've spent nationwide since the 70s going after marijuana, all it has done is shoved the criminals or the users into the black market where they are more vulnerable to crime. It's not the marijuana. Marijuana is not causing violent crime. The marijuana black market may, in instances, because it's sold illegally, bought and sold illegally, interexchanged with other illegal drugs, it may be a gateway drug in some cases where the consumer is exposed to other harder illicit drugs. I know there was a case in Parker, South Dakota. A cousin of mine actually told me about it. A kid was smoking marijuana at age 18, 19, 20. He did go on to try some pills that actually did hurt him and send him to the hospital. And that was a gateway for him because of who was selling him the marijuana. So I understand my opponents want to mix in marijuana with kind of the overall scheme of crime. It's not the marijuana that's causing crime. It is a poor decision for young people to be using marijuana. But criminalizing them to an extent where they can face up to a year in jail is not the answer. We're not sending the wrong message. The wrong message, I think, that's been sent was sent long ago, and we're my generation's feeling the harms of that in the DARE program. I was literally told when I was 12 years old that marijuana would lead me to join a gang, that marijuana could kill me, that marijuana is vicious, and you know, myself, like the vast majority of young people, did experiment with marijuana.
Let's wrap up in the next minute, okay. If you could, please. Thank you.
Point is, young people experiment with marijuana. The vast majority of them do not go on to other drugs. We've been lied to through the DARE program, and what that has done has shattered trust. Young people have thrown drug education out the window because this marijuana debate has been so over-exaggerated. If you look at the last 30 years, it has been escalated to such a point, it is so unreasonable, and we need to bring our laws up to speed. So I ask you, I urge you, for the law enforcement of South Dakota, please pass Senate Bill 221. And my last point, Chairman, is that the arresting officer still can exercise the same routine as he does today. This law doesn't take away any rights of law enforcement. It lets them make that decision themselves. I trust the police officers to make the right decision with each offender. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll close public discussion and go to questions from the committee. Now that we've heard all the testimony, questions for any of the proponents or opponents? Senator Hunoff.
I have a few for, I'm sorry, Sir Emmett, I can't say your last name, and I don't want to embarrass myself or you in not saying it correctly. I have a couple questions, if I could.
Go ahead.
First of all, did your group, or as a lobbyist, did you testify on House Bill 227?
Our 1227.
On 1227, yes.
Yes, I did.
And may I ask what your position was on that?
My position was to support the bill.
Thank you. And then does your organization that you lobby for provide dollars or support for NORML organization?
Absolutely not.
All right.
We have no affiliation.
With that, just a few, if I could have your indulgence, Mr. Chair.
For the same witness?
Yes.
Proceed.
Thank you. In your opening remarks and also in your rebuttal, do you have data that suggests that marijuana is not a gateway to the utilization? You generically have stated the data. Do you have data that shows that it is not leading to the use of other hard drugs?
I do not have data that it is not, but in a matter of context, I would suggest that there is data available to show that the vast majority, I would say it's probably less than 5% of people who try marijuana go on to use it regularly. And then amongst that pool of people, it's a fractional point that go on to meth. There is no evidence available that there's a chemical connection to want to go on to use one drug to any other drug. So, like I said, the only situation I can think of where it's a gateway is because who they're buying it from introduces the user to another drug.
Just
one more. Based on that logic that you're providing, you're suggesting that it's because they're exposed to someone that's going to give them a different level of drug use, go the meth route or whatever, the synthetics that are out there. But yet their exposure is the experience that they had with that drug to lead them to the next level to try something else.
That may be true in a very rare case, but like I said, that is the only example of it being a gateway drug, and I believe that is a casualty of the black market, not the drug itself.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Further questions? Senator Bogalka.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe I'd like the Attorney General. I've got a couple questions, if I may.
Go ahead.
About our marijuana laws. The proponent mentioned Senate Bill 70 and the relationship with marijuana, etc. Senate Bill 78 did. Mr. Reisdorfer did. Okay, anyway, my question is, in Section 54 of Senate Bill 70, we talked about the ingestion laws. And did we not in that section make the ingestion of marijuana a felony, Class 5 felony?
Mr. Chairman, may I have just a second so I go grab Senate Bill 70 real quick?
Thank you. I've got it on my computer if you want to grab my computer.
I think I have the answer, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
What the Criminal Justice Initiative dealt with ingestion was controlled substances, and marijuana is not a controlled substance. It's a separate category. And so the discussion on the tiering effect of the different scheduled controlled substances does not apply to marijuana. And so to, I think, answer your question is that everything that happened in Senate Bill 70 addresses the other drugs, not marijuana. That the Criminal Justice Initiative looked at marijuana and made a decision to not act on marijuana.
Go ahead.
Okay. Is marijuana classified as a Schedule One, or what is it?
Mr. Chairman, it is not, when you look at the South Dakota schedule, it is not a scheduled controlled substance. It's a category of its own, like salvia is. We just have certain categories that are just separate and apart and are not part of our schedules.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, if we do, if there's a blood test done on someone and it's found that they have ingested marijuana, what is the, is it a misdemeanor? I mean, other than possession, I mean, ingestion, what is it?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
We have a separate ingestion statute. You may recall it would have been, I believe, in this committee a couple years ago when I came with an ingestion statute change that if you ingested certain substances into your system, it was mainly based on synthetic drugs. But we have an ingestion statute that's separate that exists under South Dakota law that if you ingest certain chemicals that are not prescriptions and other things in your body, that it is a misdemeanor offense. So I think the answer to your question is it's by separate statute a criminal offense.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Further questions? Senator Bradford.
And this is a question of thank you, Mr. Chairman, but are not most Class 2 housed in county jails?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
Senator, the way our systems broke out, both Class 2s and Class 1s are housed at the local county level. When you get to the felony level, that's when they're housed in the state penitentiary.
Thank you. Further questions? Further questions from the committee? Senator Valley.
Of the Attorney General.
Go ahead.
You gave, if you could just review those numbers that you gave, how many people are in prison? I forget what the numbers were. And then do you have any numbers on how many people are in the county jails because of this?
Go ahead, Mr. Chairman. Senator, the easy number is with the penitentiary because I have solid numbers on that. And those numbers are for the distribution of marijuana. We treat distribution and possession a little different. They're different statutes in what Senate Bill 221 only deals with possession. But the big picture, distribution, we have 11 men and 2 women, which is 0.36% of the penitentiary population. And then on the possession of marijuana, we have 0 women in jail for that. In the state penitentiary, and we have 8 men for that, which is 0.22%. When you get to the county level, our numbers aren't as easy to come up with, but I'll show you what I have, and then you'll have an appreciation why we don't know exactly. But possession of marijuana, 2 ounces or less, which is Senate Bill 221, that's the current Class 1 misdemeanor. I talked about we had 2,361 arrests in 2012. Of those, we have a conviction of 822 that we know that 718 of those received some type of jail sentence. And the reason I want to say some type, that could include 30 days, all suspended so long as you remain on good behavior for a year and don't get into trouble. So I'm not saying that any of those 718 necessarily went to jail. I can tell you, having been a defense lawyer, having been a special assistant attorney general prosecuting drug cases, I cannot remember the time that I ever asked a judge on a marijuana case to put somebody in jail unless there was something else tied to it, domestic violence or some other inappropriate activity. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I would suggest to you that the vast majority of these Class 1 misdemeanor marijuana cases, unless there's something else, they don't go to jail unless they get that suspended jail time and they get into trouble. They get a DUI and they're found with marijuana on them, or they, you know, beat up their spouse. They have to do a next step to get themselves in jail. But then going down on the numbers, of the 822 that were convicted of this possession of marijuana, 2 ounces or less, 731 of them received a fine. And that's really the only number, Senator, that I can give you. I can't, because we have 66 different counties and all these different jails, I can't give you a solid number. And we have so many different scenarios that suspended jail time. And do you consider if somebody gets 30 days suspended and then they get beat up their spouse and they have to serve the 30 days, is that because of marijuana or is that because they beat up their spouse? And I think they're all kind of tied together.
So if I may.
Go ahead.
So out of the 2,361 arrests, somewhere around a third got some kind of jail sentence or a fine. Would that be correct?
Mr. Chairman, that would be correct if you defined a sentence to include a suspended sentence. Yeah.
Thank you.
Other questions from the committee? Chair has a couple of questions. I'll hand the gavel off to the vice chair. And the first one can be for you, Mr. Attorney General, or anybody else. And it relates to Senator Valley's question. Are you aware of any instances, or do you have any statistics that show of any cases of possession of less than 2 ounces of marijuana that received more than a Class 2 level penalty? Understand what I'm saying?
Mr. Chairman, based upon my experience, I want to go back to my experience starting in 1997 when I got done being a federal law clerk. I was a defense lawyer. And then back in about 2000, Mark Barnett hired me to be a special assistant drug prosecutor for the state of South Dakota. So from then on, I was a drug prosecutor. So I defended and prosecuted these cases. I think the appropriate answer, Senator, your question is I'm not aware of any unless there's some other conduct involved. And the reason I say that is so many times when I was prosecuting a case that dealt with marijuana, there was either a domestic violence case tied to it. And frankly, what I would do is rather than put a spouse through a domestic violence trial, I'd take a plea to marijuana. And there wouldn't be any jail so long as the guy didn't beat up his spouse again for 6 months. Or I was prosecuting a meth case, and because it's a gateway drug, there was marijuana tied to it, and so we just dismissed the marijuana case. And so I think the appropriate answer is, and I'll certainly let other law enforcement speak to it, if it's just a straight, you got a couple joints in your pocket case, I don't think I ever asked a judge to give 1 minute of jail time other than suspended. I think it was my practice to say, judge, you know, give them 30 days or 60 days over their head and make sure they don't violate the law for 1 year. It's unsupervised, so it doesn't cost the state any money. And as long as they don't get themselves arrested in that 1 year, then they walk free and this deal's done. And many of the cases, unfortunately, they didn't remain on good behavior. They got a DUI or they beat their spouse up again or they had meth or something else happened.
One additional question. Would this proposed change do anything to affect adjudication of juveniles in juvenile court?
Mr. Chairman, the answer is no with a caveat. Many of the laws you pass have a deterrent effect. In other words, it's not law enforcement. It's the fact that it's against the law. I truly believe that most citizens of South Dakota will follow the law. And it has a deterrent value to make it a higher misdemeanor. I mean, it's not a felony, but it's a misdemeanor. And I think you take away that deterrent value, and so you're going to increase the number of juvenile cases if you turn this down from a Class 1 to a Class 2 because of that deterrent effect. But to answer your direct question, Senator, no. Because when you look at this level, we're not hammering the one or two joint users.
Thank you. Mr. Chair?
Any further questions?
I have a couple questions for Mr. Gortmaker, if I could, please.
Yes.
Yes, good morning.
Thank you. In your testimony, you said that 63% of South Dakotans voted to approve our marijuana laws. What were you referring to?
They were in opposition. Excuse me. Well, that's probably how I stated it, yes, in that in 2010, when the marijuana issue was again on the ballot, 63% of the voters indicated that they were opposed to the proposed change on the ballot. And obviously, we want to keep what we have.
Okay. One question. You also testified that this bill is about decriminalizing. You said decriminalizing two or three times. What do you mean by that statement? How is this change from Class 1 to Class 2 decriminalizing?
Well, it lowers the penalty. If you lower the penalty, you are lowering the amount of crime. You're lowering the perception of what the crime is or what it is about. That would be decriminalizing.
Thank you.
Any further questions of the committee, from the committee?
Thank you. With hearing no further questions, we'll move now to discussion and action from the committee.
Chairman.
Senator Monroe.
I'd like to defer House Bill 221 to the 41st day.
Go ahead, spit it out. We have a motion to defer to the 41st day. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Hunoff. Discussion on the motion. Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just think that that as it is right now, we haven't seen a big, huge problem. I haven't seen it pop up with law enforcement talking about losing money or anything like that. I don't know what problem there is, so I'm voting against the bill.
Thank you. Senator Bradford.
Well, we heard a lot of people here, but I know that I know for a fact that the local counties in my area, they take care of these people. They're not really a problem for most of the people that testified here. This is an area where they think they could cut down on their expenses per jail and accomplish what we all want to accomplish, is them to deter the use of marijuana. And it's something that if this person is really in a gateway mood, he'll soon violate again. But you don't realize that three of the counties I represent haul their prisoners over 100 and some miles away for these types of offenses. I'm not here to legalize marijuana or anything else. I'm in hopes that we could look at this from the angle of helping them as well as it would continue. There's still things done. You're not throwing it out the window. You're still going to accomplish the fact that that person is going to be reprimanded, and they're going to be, it's on their record, and you're going to accomplish the same thing you would with Class 1, but you wouldn't be hauling them off to the county jail for our local counties who are having a tough time handling jail situations right now with it. With that, I'll be opposing the 41st day.
Thank you. Further discussion on the motion to defer to the 41st day. Senator Valley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, in the questioning, one question was answered because it was going to be my question is how much is 2 ounces? And I think that was set an average of around 120 joints. It could be 80, could be 160, depending upon the bag, but I suppose the fluffiness. That's not just a couple joints. Secondly, I think the telling thing to me was the question that was asked by the chair was how many of these get more than a class 2 sentence, class 2 misdemeanor sentence, and the response was it's difficult to know, but that unless it is involves some other crimes, the more than likely that is not the case. If it's just marijuana, a few joints, the penalty is not more than a class 2 now. If it involves other things, that may change. So with that, I don't see the need for the change. Thank you.
Further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, the motion is to defer Senate Bill 221 to the 41st day. Those in favor of deferral will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Valley?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Bradford?
No.
Bigalka?
Aye.
Teason?
No. Motion carried. Senate Bill 221 is deferred to the 41st day. That concludes our agenda for today. As a reminder, Thursday, February 14th, is both Valentine's Day and Judiciary Day. And in honor of that, Senator Bigalka will be chairing on Thursday, and we'll hear Senate Bills 114 and 206. And as it stands now, that will conclude our Senate bill agenda in Judiciary Committee. Any further discussion or comments from the committee? Seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn? Motion by Senator Hunoff, seconded by Senator Monroe. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed? We are adjourned.